Our call to worship this morning is from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let us pray. It is good to be together, God, with these people, together listening for your voice, united by your Spirit. In this time of worship, tell us about your kingdom of kindness so that we can seek it. Show us your justice. We want to walk with you humbly, closely, daily. Amen. Good morning and welcome to the Vines Uniting Church, whether you are here in the building with us or whether you're watching online. I pray today that the service will help you come into a sense of community and fellowship with the Father. I invite you now to open your heart, mind, and soul to a prayer, starting with a song. Let's pray. Please stand.
Father, I adore you.
Loving Father, all the fancy words in the world expressed in eloquent prose, decorated with emotion, spoken with conviction, cannot compete with a heartfelt sorry when all other words fail. There are times when we are all too aware of our limitations, conscious of sin and the distance it creates between us. Sometimes, sorry is all the heart can bear to say aloud. It is only you who can read and understand the language of our hearts. Only you can translate our sorry into the prayer we would have prayed if we had the words within us. Then you forgive, and having forgiven, surround us in an embrace of love, drawing us close to your heart as it was always meant to be. Thank you, loving Father, that you listen to our hearts as well as voices.
Joy. This morning we're gathering together to worship, and this is our way of praying and interceding between God and ourselves. And this is sharing our prayers for others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for all of the things that we should be thankful for what we have. Let us be mindful that we can give to others and share with others. This is Stewardship Sunday. Let us be mindful of what it means for the coming year. Heavenly Father, we come before you looking for the ways where we can further your kingdom. We can do it physically with your gifts of money and talents. Show us your will and your way. Let us pray for others who are ill and grieving. Father, give them healing and peace. We pray for the world leaders, especially with the meeting that has happened in this last week. Let them have wisdom. We also pray for the leaders of this country and our parliaments of this state. Give them wisdom and understanding. Lord, at this time, the world is still suffering from COVID-19. We pray for the doctors and scientists and the frontline workers and emergency service persons. They're striving to cope with this pandemic. We pray for those suffering from the cold and floods and mice plagues. And we pray for those on the land, preparing the land for this coming harvest. We give thanks for the rain. We pray for the leaders of this church, the church leaders, especially our minister, David Pryor, and his family. And we pray for the outreach of this church, including the chaplains working in schools. And we pray for them being blessed. Let us pause and pray silently for those who are in our thoughts and on our hearts. Holy Spirit, come. Give us guidance, wisdom, blessing, and peace. And in the loving name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.
Let us pray for the offering. As we bring our offerings to you, we give back to you from the abundant blessings you have given us. May our gifts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God. Blessings and glory, wisdom and thanksgiving, honour and power and strength be unto you, our God, for ever and ever. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. We're talking about the treasure of the hidden and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you're well. And if you're visiting for the first time or it's been a long time since we've seen you, welcome. Great to have you here. And again, part of what we try to do is celebrate life every time we come along. And part of that is with gratitude and occasionally with Dave's dodgy drawings. So for those visiting for the first time, my apologies in advance. So look, we've just heard the scripture reading from the Pearl of Great Price. I thought I'd extrapolate that a bit more. So there once was a... I'm just thinking how mustaches are. There once was a man, all right, who was looking, binoculars, stick with me, for, there you go, okay, a pearl of, great, all right. So, we've established that so far. We're going well. So, okay, now having a chat to the merchant. The merchant said, all right. The person wanting to purchase the pearl said, how much is this pearl? No, not $10. It was a bit more than that. In fact, the merchant said, it was going to cost you everything. And so the person sort of went, what, everything? And these are some of the things that the man had to sell. Else, yes, well done. Cool, right? Like, I'm not worried about it. Don't get too technical, me. Kara, I'm sure they had a caravan those days. What else? Oh, yes. Yes, okay, so the wife and kids, and someone also mentioned, actually that's not a bad little cat, is it? I could just sort of leave it there. That could be a cat. What I was actually trying to draw was a dog, but it's going to be a long session. Okay, so the merchant says to the person who wants to buy it, it's going to cost you everything. And as the person in horror looks at what it's going to cost to buy the pearl, the merchant says, oh, and I forgot one more thing. You. So, you. It cost everything, even himself. And the seller says, right, so this pearl of great price is going to cost you everything you have. And the way we understand it is sometimes we think that the pearl is, you know, something that Jesus gives for us. But what if the pearl is what we give to have Jesus? And we're talking about stewardship Sunday, aren't we? We're talking about plan giving. We're talking about church and everything. But part of the journey of faith is that when we give our lives to Christ, we just don't give 10% or a little bit. We give everything. And then what Jesus says is, hey, I will give that all back to you to be used for my glory in this world. So that's fundamentally the sermon for today. So we can might as well just sing another song and go home. What do you think? No, I'm not here to it. All right, as we ponder that, and yeah, look, I guess it's an interesting thing. It would have been interesting if the kids were here and probably watching online, which is good. Just to sort of see that, some of that interaction. But, okay, so when you came in, you might have got one of these, which is our grapevine, weekly grapevine. As you're aware, if you're visiting for the first time, we have a variety of things we do. Particularly during the week, we have our creative connections, which is a Thursday morning, which is our craft fellowship connecting time, which is really a great outreach. And I also want to let you know a bit of save the date. So if you've got grandkids you're looking after during the school holidays, or you've got kids around you, we're planning to do a 9 to 12 kids holiday Bible fun experience on the 8th of July. So a second week, I think, of the school holidays. So that is a Thursday morning, 9 to 12, and we'll have a whole pile of activities and things to do for about 3 hours. So just stick that in your diary. We'll get some more information out to you later. Anything else I should be mentioning? Thank you. Apart from, and Jesus would like to see you there too. But all right. As we continue in our worship, I'll hand back to Adrian. Thank you.
Just following on from what David was saying there during the children's talk, that the guy saw everything, he had to give everything. And the sermon this morning is along those lines. So as a lead-in to the sermon, we're going to sing an old Rod Boucher song called Give It All. And I'm sure you all knew it. There are actions, if you know the actions, where it says take the feet, the legs, and all that sort of stuff. If you don't know the actions, when we say take the feet, just clap twice. Very, very simply. But anyway, let's get into it and let's sing Give It All. Please stand.
Give it all, Lord, you can take me, I am yours. Lord, you can use me, nothing left. Lord, you can have me, all is yours. Give it all, give it all, give it all. Give it all, Lord, you can take me, I am yours. Lord, you can use me, nothing left. Lord, you can have me, all is yours. Give it all, give it all, give it all.
Take the feet,
and the legs,
and the hips,
and the chest. Thank you. And again, we really appreciate Adrian and our musicians and worship leaders and even the drummer, and our sound team and all the people who get this up and running online as well. All right, let me pause and offer a prayer as we reflect on this day. Lord Jesus, thank you for life. Thank you for love. Thank you for hope. May we continue to be your shining example of life and hope in this world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. So, stewardship. Stewardship. You know, I got myself in trouble when I was at Enfield Uniting as the minister, and that might not surprise you too much at all. I tend to get myself into trouble wherever I go. However, yeah, we had a stewardship Sunday as well, and I think we tend to call it planned giving here, but at Enfield we called it stewardship Sunday. And I said, oh, look, I don't know, stewardship Sunday just sounds a little bit Scottish. And I love my Scottish people in the audience. And I said, you know, Scots are renowned for being frugal. We need a vibrant word, a word that captures something about what we're trying to do, like abundant. And after I said it, I thought, oh, is anybody from Scotland in the congregation? And we had a couple of people visiting from Scotland, and they were offended. So I said, oh, sorry. So they would have left Australia and maybe just passed the word that, you know, pastors in Australia just, I don't know, whatever. So I decided today I wouldn't mention that story and then further. But it's, look, there's lots of different things about stewardship or planned giving. It's commitment, support, blessing, faith, caring, pledging, vision, learning, love, community, all sorts of stuff, isn't it? And a definition of stewardship is really, we are God's stewards who have been entrusted by God with life and life's resources, and given the privilege and responsibility and joyfully managing them for God. That's a really nice definition, isn't it? And I suppose often when we talk about planned giving and stewardship, we get locked down into money. And I guess money is one of those vital things. I mean, we're a volunteer organization, aren't we? We really build all this stuff off the back, our own backs. You know, it hasn't been government funded or tax provided. It's the Vines community has built this out of their own efforts and their own money and their own commitment. And so it's a really a powerful thing. In the Old Testament, when they're talking about faith and life, they'd always talk about Harvest Thanksgiving. Now, who remembers Harvest Thanksgiving? Remember, we used to actually do services for Harvest Thanksgiving. And there'd be, you know, rows and rows of stuff with hay bales and corn and sheep, no doubt, if people were in the country. But it's like, and it was, I guess, an affirmation of, for the Jewish people, they would pause and remember and give a 10% of what they earned towards the work of God. And I guess in many ways, all of us tithe 10%. It's called the GST. We're already providing 10% of our income as a tithe, 10% to the government. Now, that might surprise you or not, but it's like it's a consumption tax. Regardless of how old you are, you're paying 10% to the government. People get creative at tax time to try and get some of that back. It's another story. But giving 10% became a law in the Old Testament. And so when Jesus came along, there was that sense in which it was just a law. You just gave 10%, and if you gave 10%, well done. And Jesus had some rather harsh things to say. In Matthew 23, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, religious leaders, you hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of law, justice, mercy, and faith." I'm not sure if I had that up on a slide or not. I can't remember. Nope, I didn't. Okay, solves that. And so one of the dilemmas that happened was people required 10% and they gave 10% and then they thought that was all they needed. So Jesus came along and said, "You've missed the point. 10% of your wealth is great, but what about mercy? What about justice? What about faith?" Jesus said he did not come to remove the law, but to fulfill it. "Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or prophets. I've come not to abolish them, but to fulfill them." So Jesus came to do something more with the law than simply 10%. Jesus wanted to upgrade the law. He wanted to upgrade everything. Now, we can show the other slide now. That's good. Now, when I was talking about and trying to think about what Jesus might have offered, I was looking at the term abundant. Abundant. Now, when I talk about abundant, what's the image that comes to it? Lots. Lots and lots. Abundance. And it's really surprising that when I was looking, one of the connections that came up with abundance was this story. Now, has anybody ever read the book or seen the movie Unbroken? I thought I just did some revision over the weekend and watched it again just to make sure I was... It's actually quite a... It's based on a life, true story, and it's about this guy on the right who went to the Olympics in Berlin before the war, and he was a long-distance runner, an American, and his name was Zamperini, and he was way back in a long distance running, way back in the race, and his last lap, he did it under 4 minutes. So it's rather sensational. Normally people start fast and finish poorly, but he finished brilliantly. So they had high expectations for the next Olympic Games that were going to be in Japan 4 years after the Berlin Olympics. And as we know, World War II happened, didn't we? And so he was this Olympic runner, destined for glory, and the war comes along. It's a bit like all our Olympics who were going to go to the Olympic Games last year, but COVID came along. So there's a lot of disappointment and everything. But he ended up joining the American Air Force, and he was sent out on a mission with his other co-pilots and stuff to try and find some lost airmen. And as they were flying over the middle of the ocean, lo and behold, their plane engines cut out and they end up smashing into the water. Now there's three of them survive that crash. And up until then, the longest in a raft boat had been 20 days or something. And they were counting the days down. And after they got past 20, they got into the 30 days. And at about day 33, one of the men died. And so there's only two left. And at about 43 days surviving on the water, they bumped into a boat. And as they, you know, I guess they're malnourished and hallucinating view, discovered that they actually bumped into a Japanese warship. And so they were captured. And for the next 3 years, they were transported from different concentration camp or prison or war camp. And when they were in there, Zamparelli particularly was tortured. I guess there's no other way you can put it. And so eventually when the war came to an end and they were freed, he returned back home. And one of the things he'd said when he was in the lifeboat was, Jesus or God, if you rescue me, I will serve you for the rest of my life. So the first thing he did when he got back to America was to get married and become an alcoholic. So he sort of missed the point. And his anger and grief and trauma was just so overwhelming that he just lost himself. And his wife, we've just got an incoming, Aileen's coming in. His wife, long-suffering, was at the point of divorcing him when Billy Graham had a week-long crusade. So she went along there and gave her life to Jesus and then came back and said to her husband, you've got to go along. So under duress, he went and stormed out halfway through because what Billy Graham was saying. And then a couple of days later, he went back as he realized that one of the promises he'd made on his life raft was actually, if I survived, I'm going to give my life to God. Now, interestingly, one of the things that most traumatized him was his hatred of this guard who tortured him and his friends. And the experience he had with at this Billy Graham conference was of forgiveness. And so this forgiveness freed him from this overwhelming hatred that was just consuming him. And it was in this freedom that he found abundant life. That's the connection, if you're wondering. Abundant life. Now, I want you to turn to the person next to you or someone nearby. What does abundant life look like for you? What does it look like? Well, how do you describe abundant life? Would you even say you're living abundant life? Turn to the person next to you, have a chat. Quick. All right, so it's an interesting question. I asked a few people during the week how they would define abundant life, because I thought I'd better experiment on a few people to find out what the answer is. And some of them said, well, making a difference, meaning and purpose, to be heard. I don't know, what were some of the other, did you have any other answers that came to mind that maybe you wanted to share? Oh, thank you. Abundant life, Jesus. And look, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, abundant life. What is abundant life? Jesus came to give us hope. The Old Testament, God wanted 10%. The New Testament said that Jesus no longer required 10%, but everything. And the response was abundant life. The next slide is one that picks up this pearl of great price. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever been in a situation where you've wanted something so badly you'd considered selling everything. Maybe you've got yourself in a mortgage, or maybe some other thing that as a result of wanting something so badly. And I guess really part of the invitation that I'm inviting you to think about today is this journey we're on with faith. And what does it look like? Because I think particularly there's a good skit I used with Rob-a-Dob-Dob a couple of years ago. It was the same sort of thing where we acted out the dynamic conversation that I attempted to draw badly on the board. You know, what is it that we as Christians are being invited to do and be? I mean, we're probably in the top 5% of the world as far as lifestyle and wealth and comfort, really, seriously. And that's not even factoring in COVID. So how do we deal with all our wealth? What do we do with it? I mean, what sense do we make of it? Well, you could sell it, yeah. But that's, I think, part of one of the things I've always enjoyed is the understanding that actually all I have is not mine, but God's to be recalled when required. I mean, how does that work? And I was talking to my son, Isaac, and he was he's always reading different things, and he came across let me read it. Talking about wealth creation program, and it had four stipulated steps for a wealth creation. First is establish yourself. Makes sense, doesn't it? Number one, establish yourself. Two, gain stability. Three, generate wealth to the maximum. And then in your 60s, give generously. Let me just recount them. So establish yourself as number one. Step two is gain stability. Step three is generate wealth and maximize it. Step four is to give generously. So having established yourself through phases 1 to 3, you can give generously when you're in your 60s. However, Isaac's reflection on this was, actually the Christian is not asked to go through steps 1, 2, and 3. The Christian is asked to go straight to step 4. We give generously at any age, at any stage. And in fact, when I was in India, I used to find that even in the midst of their poverty, so many people just gave generously. And it's really overwhelming when you know that the meal you're eating actually is chewing into their pantry significantly. And it's just a beautiful gift. And you know that each mouthful is a wonderful gift because it costs them a lot. And so part of this giving generously, and I guess sometimes we get Westerners, Protestant work ethic, you know, where we have to just do stuff to earn our worth. Part of the invitation that I guess I'm really wanting us to consider is this question, comes from this quote. God doesn't want you to do more for him. God wants you to be more for him. God doesn't want you to do more for him. God wants you to be more for him. But what does that mean? So, what does that mean? What is the most valuable asset we have in our lives?
Time.
Time, ourselves, our lives, yes. So, I think one of the precious things we have is time. And every time I look in the mirror, who is this old fella? Where'd that young David go? Who is, you know, like, it just, life happens, doesn't it? Things change. And the Bible never said that Jesus rushed everywhere. While Jesus was usually busy, he found a lot of time to pray. His total ministry was accomplished in 3 short years. Jesus found time to play with children, to investigate a fig tree, to take a nap during a boat ride, to rest at noon beside a well, to attend a wedding reception. The Bible does not say, if you hurry, you can catch up with God. It does say, be still or cease your striving and know that I am God. Jesus did not say, join up with me and I will work you 18 hours a day. I like that one particularly. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. So I'm not sure what you think of those invitations, but I think sometimes we just get so caught up with a lot of stuff in life at any age. And I often talk to people who are retired and they say they're now busier now than when they were working. So I'm not sure that's much incentive for me to retire. I think I'll just keep working. Interesting, isn't it? What is our faith journey about? And when we become a part of the family of God, we are forever that part of that family. We're adopted children. We become one. We become the hands, the feet, the knees, the eyes, the ears. We are the ones who sustain and give hope to others in whatever way we can. So when we talk about planned giving, about stewardship, I guess there's a couple of key words that come to mind. I've tried to suggest abundant is one of those words. I guess another way to talk about it is gratitude. You know, worship for me is about being a chance to express my gratitude for life, making a difference. And I suppose that's really what we as a community are continuing to try to do, aren't we? Really. We're trying to be a vibrant, hope-filled place that continues to grow. So in doing that, we're actually able to influence those around us to connect in and discover more hope and life. You know, we're trying to balance what we're doing here and our lives as we reach out. So today, while we recognize we want to look at the budget, that's not the bottom line. The bottom line really is that connection, that hope, that life, that love, that being. And because that's the life-giving part of it in the end. Because we can get so caught up with the tyranny of the shoulds, the things that we should be doing, and miss the point that life itself is time itself is a gift. All right, I think that's probably all I have to say today. I'm going to invite you to pause for a moment. And what is one thing you've connected with this morning? What is one thing you're going to take away with you? Lord Jesus, we thank you for life. We thank you for the opportunity we have, for all the different images that we've shared today and thought upon. Lord, as we go from this place, as we continue to explore life as each day, we ask that we would continue to discover how you want us to be. What part of that connection can we grow deeper as we share that with others? In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Adrian.
Thank you, David. One thing I've thought over the years is when we tithe, we give 10% of our first fruits back to God. So whatever your gross income is, you give 10%. But one thing to remember is that God gave you 100% of what you've got. And you're only giving him back for use within the church a part of that. This next song we're going to do is an old hymn. And it tells us that everything we have, we must surrender to God. Let's stand as we sing, "I Surrender All."
I surrender all to him.
as you go from this place, know that you do not go alone, that the love of God goes with you forever. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
Peace.